Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the Acts chapter 18 today. Acts chapter 18. We are continuing our series that we began several months ago on the various journeys of the Apostle Paul and looking at how God led in his life. And so many remarkable events have taken place over the previous two missionary journeys. And now we come to the third missionary journey. There may have been a fourth one. It's not recorded in the Bible. We know that he went to Spain. He makes reference to that. Gives no indication that it happened on his third missionary trip. So it may have happened on another trip that's not recorded in the Bible. But we're going to be looking specifically at Paul's strengthening tour. As he goes and he shares the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ back at these same churches that he visited on the first and second missionary journeys, going back to strengthen the brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to take just a moment to show you, before we do the reading of this passage beginning at verse 23, this right here is the town of Tarsus, what's left of it. That was the hometown of the Apostle Paul. By the way, all three missionary journeys, the road that he took traveled through his hometown, Tarsus. Matter of fact, this is one of the first places that he probably visited when he made it across from the northern part of Lebanon, crossing over into Cilicia, where he would have been right on the road to Tarsus. And so I put that picture up here because Paul visited his hometown regularly to communicate the gospel there. We don't have much recorded about his ministry at Tarsus. And as a result of that, he was able to continue on his journey into Galatia and Phrygia to revisit those places. Let me just kind of show you a map here. He starts beginning at Antioch. He makes his way up to Issus and then over to Tarsus, crosses over to Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch of Pisidia, and then he makes his way back over to Laodicea, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Troas, and makes his way all the way back around to those same towns. You'll notice that on his way, he doesn't take a boat. He stays on land the entire time, visiting these churches that he planted. He makes his way back up, revisiting the same churches. Then he splits off. He makes his way back over and travels back down to this route where he goes into some of these other places. Isle of Patmos, you see, is right over here where John was banished and he wrote the book of Revelation. Then he makes his way back over to the island of Rhodes. Anybody remember what happens there? Tremendous storm arises, shipwrecked on the island of Rhodes. There he has a tremendous preaching opportunity. He's bitten by a snake, a very poisonous snake, and he survives. God performs a miracle to allow him to be sustained. And then he travels on to Lycia and then back over to Tyre. He makes his way all the way down to Jerusalem. And there at Jerusalem is where he is arrested. He spends a period of time there. He appeals to Caesar. And then the rest of the book of Acts records his trip across the Mediterranean over to Rome. And, of course, that is way over, passed out of our map, across the Mediterranean. And there he waits in prison. He's released for a period of time. And then he's put back in prison, makes his appeal to Julius Caesar, presents the gospel to him. And then, of course, waits in prison for his execution. And then that closes out the book of Acts. But we're going to be focusing on this third missionary journey, looking at his travels there and the ministry of God in his life and the leadership of his life. I tell you, one of the things that I have learned in these three missionary journeys is that they're, first of all, not easy. That's a big lesson. It was not easy. Many of the places he was beaten. In some of the places he was stoned. Some of the places he was thrown into prison at Philippi. You recall that. All of these things he endured for the ministry of the gospel. The ministry of the gospel may not be easy. There have been people that I've witnessed to that wanted no part of it. Wanted nothing to do. So I'd just say, okay, that's fine. I'll be praying for you. And that you'll come to faith in Jesus Christ, and had to leave it there because they were not interested. And that's what he faced in many of those locations. But on this missionary trip, this third one, He is going to go to places that He's visited before, and His role specifically is going to be to strengthen them, to encourage them, to make them stronger in their faith. How many of you believe we need to be made stronger in our faith? The word that we use often is edify. That's not the word that's used here. This word means to build and strengthen the building that's growing on a foundation. You know, this whole building process of the dormitory there, it looks so different from what it used to look like. My wife and I lived there for 8 years. We had an apartment down on the bottom floor, and it's not there anymore. It's a classroom. And, you know, looking at all the things and all the requirements that the code has put in there. When you go down and visit, when we have our dedication time later on this summer, we're looking forward to that special time. By the way, sheetrock work is done. Chris finished up framing in all the windows this week. It looks really good. They got to put the drop ceiling in, finish up the electrical, the lighting and stuff. Painting has to be done, carpet, and then it's going to be time to start moving furniture in. Outdoor work has to be done. Looking at that building and seeing the structures and the changes to that to strengthen that 50-plus year old building, to make sure that it doesn't fall down. How many of you think that's important? Of course it's important. We live in a hurricane region. It needs to be strengthened for that purpose. And you and I as believers, as we continue to live our lives here upon this earth, we never come to a time where we don't need to be strengthened. Are you listening? There's some people, bless their hearts, that's what we say in the South when we're concerned for somebody, that think that they've reached their spiritual plateau. I've made it. I'm here. There's nothing more I need to worry about. Paul said, oh no, we've got to keep growing in the Lord. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ is what Paul said. Growing in grace, growing in knowledge. We never arrive until we stand in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do I hear an amen? We're still growing. Our little pea brain forgets, does it not? What is the challenge for us? It's been shown many, many times that by Wednesday, you remember 10% of what you heard on Sunday. Isn't that amazing? And by Friday, you know even less. Unless you're concentrating on it every day and remembering and going over the notes or something like that, our little pea brain can't retain it all. So we have to keep going back to the Word and studying and reading and filling our souls with that food, because we're just like in life. You know, some of you are hungry, stomachs are growling, we're going to have food here in a little while, but you know what you're going to be doing this evening? Around 6 p.m., you'll be eating again. And when you get up in the morning, you'll be eating again. And at lunchtime, you'll be eating again. Now, why can't we just eat once and be done with it? That's not how it works. And the same thing is true in the spiritual life, Christian. What did Jesus say in Psalm 23? I will lead you by the still waters. And you know what He does there? He restores our soul. Your soul needs restoration on a constant and consistent basis. And if you ignore, you have problems. You have spiritual problems. And we need to stay strengthened in the Word of God. So let's begin reading at verse 23. We're going to read through the end of the passage. And I'm going to be reading from the translation of the New Testament by J.B. Phillips. And I want you to follow along in your Bible as we begin at verse 23 of chapter 18. Verse 23. He spent some time there before he left and proceeded to visit systematically throughout Galatia and Phrygia, putting new heart into all the disciples as he went. Now that's another translation of that Greek word that's used there, describing strengthening, to put new heart into them. We're going to develop that further. Now a Jew called Apollos, a native of Alexandria, Egypt, and a gifted speaker, well-versed in the Scriptures, arrived at Ephesus. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with burning zeal, teaching the facts about Jesus faithfully, even though he knew only the baptism of John. We're going to talk about that a little bit further as well, but he was incomplete in his understanding of what Jesus had accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Yes, Jesus was the Messiah that came, but Jesus went to the cross, and Jesus rose again the third day. No doubt he had visited Jerusalem at some time in the past, but had returned back to Alexandria and then traveled north up into Asia Minor. So he didn't get all the word concerning what had happened. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. Then as he wanted to cross into Achaia, the brothers gave him every encouragement and wrote a letter to the disciples there, asking them to make him welcome. On his arrival, he proved a source of great strength to those who had believed through grace. For by his powerful arguments, he publicly refuted the Jews, quoting from the Scriptures to prove that Jesus is the Christ. Now that's important. Jesus is the Christ. And then notice there that he encouraged those who believed through grace. Now that's the emphasis here that's going to be made on this third missionary trip. Not that grace was not mentioned before, but there are people on this third missionary trip who are Jews who had come to faith in Jesus Christ, but their faith was incomplete because they did not have in their hands what? The New Testament. All they had was what? The Old Testament, which looked forward to whose coming? Jesus Christ. Now this, understand, piece this together in your hearts and minds. The Jewish people, the Gentile people, only a few letters had been written by the Apostle Paul. They had made their way to some of the churches in those areas, but not everybody had a copy of it. They mostly had the Old Testament. And so their understanding, John the Baptist prophesied in the Old Testament. He came and said, I've been sent of God to prepare the way of the Lord. Even John questioned if Jesus was the Messiah. Remember when he was in prison, he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, are you he that was prophesied? In John's own heart and mind, he wasn't sure about Jesus. And no doubt there were many that John ministered to who had traveled to Jerusalem. Faithful Jews came three times a year. Why did they come three times a year? Because that's what they were supposed to do. They were to come to the major holidays, the Day of Atonement. They were to come to the day of the building of the tabernacles. They were to come for the Passover. And so they had a responsibility to go there. They would hear things and then they would go back to their home. No doubt Apollos had been one of those men. Incomplete understanding of the Word. Though he loved God, though he was a believer, he didn't have all the truth. And by the way, we need to understand this. There are many people, even in this day and age of information, that still don't have all the information. I chuckle sometimes at the postings on Facebook that people give. Does anybody know a builder in the area? They'll post that out on, in a thing. Now, have they ever heard of Google? Go in there. Now, I can understand posting to a friend, hey, I heard you use somebody. Can I have their name? That's fine. But just go out there and say, does anybody know this? Well, what happened to Google? Just go in there and say, handyman needed. And local handymen, and boom, you got a list a mile long of people. Some people lack information, correct? Lack information. And there are people in churches all across America that still lack information. And in many cases, it's because they don't study their Bibles like they ought to. I mentioned this on Wednesday night, that in general, only 8% of people understand what it means to have a biblical world view. This is in churches in America, 8%. That's stunning to me that they lack the information to know what is a biblical world view. And most people have a what? A Bible. Why do they lack knowledge? Why do they lack understanding? It goes back to what Paul said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God wants us to know, but we've got to be interested in knowing. It's our responsibility to study the Bible. God won't do that for you. Does everybody understand me? He's not going to come down and grab you by the hand and say, all right, let's go do devotion time together. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to take the Word and to read it and to digest it and to grow in it. But there are many people that get distracted for one reason or another, don't spend time like they should. They're hit and miss in their understanding of the Word. But in this case, Apollos loved the Word that he had. He had in written form the Old Testament. He devoured it. He digested it. But he didn't know about all the things that had happened and the Word that was being added by the Apostle Paul and Peter and the writers of the Gospels. Many of that stuff had not been published yet. So we got to understand that. Don't read your knowledge of the Bible into the people of the past. They didn't have what you have. Everybody understand that? They didn't have a written copy of the Bible in front of their hands, except maybe for the Old Testament, especially the Jews. Most of them had to go to the synagogue so they could hear it because they didn't even possess a scroll that contained it. So this is important to understand. And Paul, as he goes back, orally, now get this, orally, he wanted to strengthen them. And this is a principle of the third missionary trip. The oral strengthening of believers through the proclamation of the Word because they didn't have it fully in writing. Do you realize that there's over 3,500 languages today that still don't have a written copy of the Bible? How do they learn? Orally, the oral teaching of the Bible. And folks, we need to be quick. Rather than getting upset when someone asks us a simple Bible question, rather than saying, well, you should know that. No, not everybody does. And you know, I've found a few people don't even know how to read. I was stunned with a man that I had known for years and years. And I asked him, I said, why do you always bring your wife to the draft? She's got to be bored with this. And he pulled me aside and he says, I can't read and I can't write. And I said, I am so sorry. I did not realize that. He said, I never learned. I went to school, but I never learned how to read or write. My wife does everything for me in that regard. That's in the common world today. There are people that just don't know how to read. So what do we need to do? We need to tell them. We need to communicate when they ask a question to be able to know the Word to the point where we can answer the question. How many of you have been following in the news that the liberals' new mantra is fight oligarchy? How many of you have heard that? All right. Now, there's been a lot of pushback in the media. And you know what the pushback is? Nobody knows what oligarchy means. Okay? Now, that's what they've chosen for their mantra. Now, my question was, how come they don't know what oligarchy means? Have we forgotten our dictionaries? We've got phones we carry around that you can type in the word oligarchy, or you can say it into your phone. What does oligarchy mean? And immediately, you can find out what it means. But for some reason, people are saying, we don't even know what it means. Educate yourself. Now, I don't particularly think it's a very good mantra myself. You ought to communicate on a simpler level so that everybody can get it the first time. That's the point. The first time. so that I have to go look it all up. But I want you to know something, Christian. It's our job to look it up in the Word of God. We need to educate ourselves in the Word of God. So when that question comes on an airplane flight with someone who has a question about the Scriptures, and you can talk and be able to share the good news of the gospel, or share and answer a question that a person may ask you, because you know, and you're able to communicate that. Paul, in this missionary trip, is going to strengthen. Let's look at that particular word, and then we're going to close today. This particular word that we find here in this passage of Scripture, look at verse 23 again. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. The Greek word that we find there in the original language is the word epistorizo. Epi means upon. To place something upon, that's epi. All right? What is the epicenter? All right? That's the center upon which something stands. Everybody understand? All right? Epi. That's the word that's used. Epistorizo. And it means to build and make stronger. And it involves a process. This is what is interesting. It's a process word in the Greek. And it means this. It has the idea of extending the understanding that precedes as it supports what must follow. All right? Think about this for a moment. Extending the understanding that precedes. I have this understanding that I'm given. I want to extend that. Amen? The knowledge that I've been given, I want to extend that so that it will support that which must follow. Two-story building. You have the foundation. That's wonderful. You have to have a foundation. But the foundation has to be strong enough to hold how many stories? Two. Not just one. Two stories. And so the foundation is laid. First story is built. But you got to make the first story strong enough to hold the second story. You can't cheap on the materials. Amen. Same thing is true in the Christian life. This word is the idea of you build upon a strong foundation and you build the next story and you make it strong enough so it holds the next story above it. That's what our life is. It's a building, and we're growing. I hope and pray that you're not at the same place you were the moment that you were saved. You remember the marvel of the Apostle Paul? He says, I'm surprised that you're babes when you should be what? Teachers. How dare he say to the people? No, it was true. They were still in the babe formation, and he says, at this point, you should be teachers, but you're not, because you haven't been building with the materials that God supplies. God builds us, and the way He builds us is through our study of the Word, not independent of the Word. There's never been a Christian built on this planet by the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ that was not built on the firm foundation of the Word of God. Amen? That's it. The Word is used in the building and construction, the strengthening, the epistorizo, taking that which precedes, that beginning knowledge, the rudiments, and then building, extending that out, so not only am I adding to this? I'm adding something that will support what follows that. What a picture is given in one word. I want you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to close with this. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to show you this building process that Peter makes so clear by pen of inspiration. 2 Peter chapter 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Look, please, beginning at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts, all right, through the desires of the flesh. And beside this, or actually in addition to this knowledge of these promises, giving all diligence, what's that next word there? Add. In the Greek language, it's the word chorizo. We get our word chorus from this word. Chorus together. Now, a chorus is many voices put together. During the competition, I heard every kind of music group, from brass to woodwinds to bands to ensembles to handbells, and all of them had their own individual part that they played. But when you put it all together, when you chorused it together, put all the pieces together, it made a whole. Not H-O-L-E, but W-H-O-L-E. Add, chorus together. Notice, please. Add to your faith, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Agape, charity. Now, what have you just seen there? We're building, are we not? Epistorizo. We're building. We're taking what we started with. Faith. That was the first one. Add to your faith. Believing. And then all of these things that the Word teaches us, and the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word and grows in us. These things are all added in there. What's very interesting is almost parallel to Galatians 3:20, where it talks about the nine fruits of the Spirit. It's an amazing thing. These are things that are to be chorused together in our lives. Paul on this trip is going to emphasize and strengthen this building process of growth in the Word, growth in knowledge, and growth in grace and what it means, because that was Apollos' issue. He didn't know that grace was enthroned. He was preaching the repentance of John, which looked forward to the Messiah. But the Messiah had come, and the Messiah had died on the cross, and the Messiah had rose from the dead. And so that message needed to be included in Apollos' message. And what was he doing? What was Paul doing with him? And what was Aquila and Priscilla doing? They were instructing him in the Word so that he might be strengthened, epistorizo, in the faith. I am so thankful for the third missionary trip of the Apostle Paul. And we're going to look at detail at how, during this trip at Ephesus, which was the last place that he had gone to on the second missionary trip, he makes his way back to Ephesus, and there he strengthens the believers. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 21, we find that he makes his way on one of his travels to the island of Miletus, and he calls for the elders of the church of Ephesus to come in his last farewell message to them. Why Ephesus? Ephesus was a church that was near and dear to his heart because his protege, Timothy, was their pastor. He had left them there. And they were near and dear. They were a church that had been strengthened by Paul and Timothy. Oh, how we need the strengthening of the Word of God in these days. We can't skip devotion time. You can't skip reading and studying the Bible. You say, well, I have a working knowledge. You don't need a working knowledge. You need a growing knowledge. You might have a working knowledge of nuclear fission. But I'm not going to put you in a nuclear facility just because you have a working knowledge. You need to have a growing knowledge. Amen? And the same thing is true. Can you imagine going to your doctor? You got a surgery scheduled. Well, I have a working knowledge of knees. That's great, sir. Do you have an excellent knowledge of knees? Well, it's just a working knowledge. Is that sufficient for us? No. It needs to be a growing knowledge, growing grace, growing knowledge of the Word of God. And that's what this third missionary trip is going to be all about. This is how God leads. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the testimony of your Word. I thank you that we can be here today, that we can be strengthened by the Word of God, that we can be encouraged in our everyday lives. Church is not just for Sundays. It's not just the only day of the week that we open our Bibles. Every day of the week is supposed to be growing. Every day of the week is time spent with you, having the Holy Spirit illuminate and teach us the Word of God. Lord, I pray that we would not be shallow Christians, but instead we would be growing in the wonderful Word of God. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict. Maybe there's some here that say, I haven't been studying my Bible. I haven't been reading. I haven't been growing. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would convict us and that you would strengthen us and that we would take seriously your precious Word, the Word that has communicated to us the truth of salvation and growth in that salvation, sanctification after salvation. Lord, these are the processes by which you grow us in knowledge. Father, we thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. We thank you for his burden to return to these churches on a third time in many cases to communicate the strengthening that their souls needed. And we pray, Father, that you would help us this week. We don't know what we're going to face. There may be people who come into our lives we've never seen before. An opportunity is given to us. Are we going to share the Word? Are we concerned enough to talk to them about their soul? I pray that you would stir us up in that regard, that we would be faithful missionaries for Thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.